are you trying to do? You said I'm so different than you, different than you. You said
I want to welcome you back to the God Normal podcast on miracles, hosted by KatieRecords.org. And today we're going to talk about resurrection from the dead. Take a moment and read Matthew 5, 22 through 43. The resurrection of the dead is one of those miracles that people have a hard time conceiving. They think that once one has died, God does not reach there. But if you check the Bible out in your own time, you will discover that there are several instances of resurrection in the First Testament and very many in the New Testament related to Jesus himself and also to the disciples after Jesus ascended into heaven. Well, let's look at this one. Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue. He came and asked Jesus to help him because his daughter was ill and about to die. While they tarried because someone else had a miracle take place and Jesus needed to address that, Jairus's daughter did die. And someone from his household came and told him, "Don't trouble the master anymore. She's dead." Jesus immediately asked Jairus to reject fear and to believe. And Jairus agreed with that. He accepted that. Jesus only allowed Peter and the sons of thunder to come with him. The sons of thunder are James and John. And they were called the sons of thunder because of their willingness to get into scuffles all the time. Jesus verbally expressed the reality of his paradigm. She's not dead. She's just sleeping. Here I want to make a little interlude on death. If you'll notice, death is referred to as a sleep very often, especially in the New Testament. It happens when one is awaiting judgment. Hebrews 9:27 says that it is appointed once unto man to die, and then after that, the judgment. Well, this is the first death. There's also a second death described in the Bible. Here's some text where you can find it. Revelation 2:11, Revelation 26:14, and Revelation 21:8. They're in Revelation because the second death, even though you can find reference to it throughout other books of the Bible, the second death is post-judgment. It is the final death. It is the eternal death. And we all want to avoid that. You're going to want to check it out. So the people, when Jesus said she's not dead, she's just sleeping, the people went from dramatic weeping to laughing. These were neighbors, and some of them were professional mourners. They were actually paid to come and mourn with the family. Today, people might just go to a therapist, but in those days, mourning was not something that just happened. It was something that was deliberately gone through to promote healing and paradigm shift, since we're talking about paradigms, but it's the truth. So the people went from dramatic weeping to laughing. I think there's something really strange there about it. The text says that they laughed Jesus to scorn. These people were not doubters. They were scoffers, which is much, much worse. Even today, you'll find people who would call you a fool for believing in the power of God. It isn't that they doubt it. It's that they can't even get their mind around the remote possibility. Okay. It's counter faith and very destructive. And even then, those people had to go. They were all put out. Jesus put them all out. And then he took the mother, the father, and the down for whatever disciples and went to the place where the young girl was. Now, I'm sure the energy of the disciples that Jesus brought with him didn't escape the observation of the ejected mourners. Jesus chose the one who would run with him on a hairy mission. These were the unconventional, rough on the edges, energetic and defensive disciples, especially Peter. He was pretty defensive. There's record of that in the Bible, even though it's alluded to with the Sons of Thunder nickname for James and John. But these people had high energy. And they were really down for whatever, or up for whatever. But Jesus's aim in choosing these people was to create the space and the atmosphere needed for the healthy production of this miracle. He could have brought the young girl to life from where he was. When Jairus came up, he could have just spoken the word. He could have thought it, and she would have been healed. This is the creator of the universe we're talking about. But he purposefully created an atmosphere of energy and faith. Then we see Jesus take the lifeless hand of the girl and talk to her. He says, Talitha kumi, which means, little girl, arise, I tell you. You notice the dumbfounded astonishment of the family? They responded with astonishment, astonishment. The Bible says it twice in the King James translation. Astonishment, astonishment of the family and the disciples. When the damsel arose, though they were not expecting a resurrection, they were able to receive their daughter again because they were willing to follow God. They were willing to follow him and let him have his unhindered way. Okay, when Jairus came to Jesus, he was asking him to come. He wanted him to come quickly because the child was sick and he needed the child to be healed. And instead of her just being healed, she was actually resurrected, you know, which is a big change. But they followed God. They trusted that good would come of Jesus's presence in their house. I also think it's interesting that the translation says, I say unto thee, in verse 41, it says, I say unto thee, because it matters from whence the command issues. When it comes to true physical resurrection, no matter who is making the request, the power of resurrection comes from one place and one place only. That's from the Creator God. There's only one who can create life, and that is God. In this story from Jairus' daughter, we learn, number one, believe God. Believe God, his love, his power, his willingness to do, as the Bible says, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, which is exactly what happened for Jairus. He was looking for healing power. He got a resurrection. So we need to believe God, believe that he wants to, he has the power to, he loves us enough, he will do. Number two, we learn to eject scoffers and invite believers. Get the scoffers out. It's a negative drag. Get them out and invite the believers, those who will believe with you, those who will pray with you, those who have a personal relationship with God, as did the three disciples he brought, and those who will be with you through thick and through thin when it comes to believing God. You don't necessarily have to be personal friends with them, but when you find someone who loves the Lord, they will also love you. Get rid of the scoffers. Invite the believers. Number three, verbally express the reality of the God paradigm, just as Jesus did. Everything that he did was an example for us. We need to learn from it. Jesus verbally expressed the reality of the paradigm. He understood himself. He understood his Father. He understood the power there, and he understood the state of the dead. She's not dead. Speaking of the eternal death, meaning the one that no one emerges from. She's not dead. She's just sleeping. Resurrection was still possible. She had not yet been judged. She was sleeping. Verbally expressed the reality of the God paradigm. It shall be done. We need to understand who God is. We need to learn to believe him. We need to learn to eject the scoffers and invite the believers. If they are anti-faith, if they are counter-faith, they do not need to be in our space. And there are some people who just don't know, but those who are going to tear God down are enemies of God, and they do not need to be invited into our space. So we eject scoffers and we invite believers. Some people don't know. They're not scoffers. They just don't know. Some people have doubts. They're not scoffers. They just don't know. Those who out and out reject God need to be out of our space. Okay? I just had to repeat that. But we learn to believe God. We eject scoffers, invite believers. And number three, we verbally express the reality of the God paradigm. It shall be done. Miracles come when we believe. Okay? God is willing. He has the power and the love for us to do exceedingly above all we ask or think. Get in the Word. Study that book. Read that book. And let's learn how to see God for who he is and to understand the God normal. So I know what you